is Holly, and this is my second episode of Sleepy Time Sports. If you are back from my first episode, thank you so much for returning. And if this is your first time listening, welcome. I would ask that you please subscribe to the podcast. And if you are listening on Apple, if you wouldn't mind giving it a rating, that would be lovely. As I said, this is the Sleepy Time Sports Podcast, where I read sports news. I read news, give updates throughout the week, and hopefully lull you to sleep at the same time. Before we get started, I do have two other podcasts I am working on. The first one is called Burger of the Night, where I rewatch a Bob's Burgers episode and narrate essentially what is going on. And that is a Sleepy Time podcast as well. And the second podcast is another Sleepy Time podcast, actually. And that is called Love You to Sleep, where I essentially say words of affirmation and use my quiet, calm voice to hopefully lull you to sleep as well. So just kind of trying to cover all my bases within the Sleepy Podcast realm. So if you are interested in words of affirmation, or you are a Bob's Burger fan, I would suggest giving those a listen and maybe subscribe to those as well if you are interested. I should advise not to listen to this podcast while you are driving or operating any other heavy machinery. And with that, we will get started. So the Tigers will be parting ways with coach Ed Orgeron at the end of the season, according to Yahoo Sports' Pete Thamel. A&M coach Jimbo Fisher has denied any rumors connecting him to the LSU job after the Tigers announced that Ed would not be returning in 2022. Jimbo said, "I love being here. This is the job I want." Fisher is definitely viewed as a top potential candidate for the LSU job due to having some deep ties with the program. Fisher was given a 10-year, $75 million fully guaranteed contract at Texas A&M by the athletic director at the time, Scott Woodward, who now has the same title but only at LSU. Fisher did recently sign a extension that will pay him nearly $95 million between 2022 and 2031. Neither contract requires a buyout if Fisher does decide to leave for another team or another opportunity. Fisher has been quoted saying, though, I really believe we're in the process of building something great. I plan on being here and fulfilling this contract. My family has roots here. I've got ranches here. I hunt here. I love everything about this place. There's nothing going on with LSU. There's nothing happening here. I don't want to be disrespectful to anybody else. I coached there. We won a national championship. It is one of the best places in America. It is a wonderful place. I love being at A&M, and I plan on being at A&M. I love it here. So, from the sounds of it, he is pretty sold on staying with A&M and not switching over to LSU. But I guess you never know. We will see what will happen. We do know now, though, that LSU will be having a new coach in 2022. Pete Thames tweeted on October 17th that a source familiar with the situation at LSU had stated it is one of those things where no one wanted to be there anymore. The players didn't want to play for him, and the coaches didn't want to coach for him. For the second time in only the last few months, basketball commentator Dick Vitale has been diagnosed with a rare form of cancer. Over the last 4 decades, Vitale has served as a ESPN personality. He unfortunately has been diagnosed with lymphoma, a rare form of cancer. In August, Vitale did announce that he was diagnosed with melanoma, and that did lead to multiple surgeries. Vitale was cleared of the melanoma diagnosis, but will have to go through 6 months of chemotherapy and a steroid regimen as well in order to fight the lymphoma. He is thankful for the early detection of both his melanoma diagnosis as well as his lymphoma diagnosis. In both of these cases, he states that he feels very grateful that they caught it early. And after experiencing recent symptoms and getting that diagnosis, his doctor says that the lymphoma has a 90% chance of being cured. Vitale says that he considers himself very lucky. He said in a statement from ESPN that he has seen firsthand the devastation that cancer can have on families, on children, and on all of our loved ones. It can bring you to your knees. It is physically and
emotionally exhausting. It robs you of so many things, including life itself. For some of the most unfortunate patients, he says he never loses sight of that, and that is why he feels so lucky. What an incredible outlook. It is very unfortunate to hear that this is happening, but I know I will definitely be keeping him in my thoughts, and I hope you keep him in your thoughts as well. He does plan to continue broadcasting college basketball games this upcoming season. Around his chemotherapy schedule, while they closely monitor his test results, Jaren Jackson Jr. is looking a bit richer today. The Memphis Grizzlies have agreed to a $105 million contract extension for the next 4 years. Quite a sum of money, if you ask me. And let's see. DK Metcalf and Shannon Sharp had a little bit of Twitter beef this week after the Seahawks went up against the Steelers on Sunday. The Seahawks took the Steelers into overtime. They barely made it, but they did, coming within seconds of failing to get there. DK Metcalf made the decision not to step out of bounds on the second to last play of regulation, and that move nearly cost the game for the Seahawks. The Seahawks had the ball while they were on Pittsburgh's 35-yard line. They had no timeouts left and just 18 seconds left on the clock. Geno Smith saw that Metcalf was open on the left sideline. Smith completed an easy pass to Metcalf, who was in between two defenders and had a clear lane out of bounds. Metcalf could have easily stepped out of bounds to stop the clock, and that would have set Seattle up for a field goal that would be about 40 yards in length. But Metcalf decided to try to gain a little bit more yardage, it appears. He avoided going out of bounds and fumbled the ball. The Seahawks receiver, Freddie Swain, jumped on it to keep that ball in Seattle's possession. As I said, there was a conversation between Shannon Sharp and Metcalf. Shannon Sharp tweeted saying, "What was DK thinking? Why try to play hero in that situation?" And Metcalf responded saying, "Stop questioning me, little boy." And there was a laughing emoji. Cry laughing, I should say. Sharp tweeted back saying, "Nothing to question." That was, quote, unquote, dumbass play. And your pride won't let you admit it. You, quote, unquote, can't question anything I've done. Pray your resume will be as complete as mine. Then he says, pray, in all caps. Enjoy the rest of your day. Ooh. Some shots were fired there for sure. Understandably so. And Metcalf said, from the looks of it, I can wipe my insert poop emoji with yours. Continue to gossip, you washed up wannabe. It would appear that DK maybe had a change of heart about his response, and he tweeted once again at Shannon Sharp saying, you know what, you right, with two laughing, crying emojis, saying, I do pray my resume can match up with yours, with the prayer hands emoji. And he used the hashtag work in progress, baby. So there you have it. The responses to this interaction on Twitter were quite funny to read through. How do you feel? It would appear that most people agreed with Shannon Sharp, questioning why Metcalf did what he did.
It was a crazy game for NFL Week 6. The Jaguars picked up their very first win this season by going over to London and beating the Dolphins 23-20. This victory over Miami gave Urban Meyer the first win of his career while coaching the Jaguars. And it also happened to end Jacksonville's 20-game losing streak, which was the second longest in league history. Patrick Mahomes' brother made a fool out of himself. Jackson Mahomes was seen dancing on the roped-off area of Sean Taylor's memorial logo. If that was not enough insult to injury, it was also the day that they decided to retire Sean Taylor's number. His family was in attendance at the time of just very disappointing, if you ask me. Jackson Mahomes was dancing for a new TikTok trend, a little reminiscent of the phrase dancing on their grave, if you ask me. Jackson has since issued an apology on Twitter, stating that he apologizes for accidentally being on Taylor's number, 21. He said that is where they were directed to stand, and he meant no disrespect to the family. Speaking of Mahomes's, Kansas City beat Washington on Sunday. And while Mahomes homes through for a season high 397 yards in the 31-13 victory. He also threw 2 interceptions, and one of them was what a lot of y'all are calling a disaster. It went down in the box score as an interception by Mahomes, but the pick really bothered Mahomes' mom, Randy, who said on Twitter that a play like that one shouldn't even count as an interception for the quarterback. She said it should be a fumble or anything else. This is his 8th this year, which is more than he has thrown in either of his last 2 seasons. And now he has thrown at least 1 interception in 5 straight games. And the game on Sunday was also his 3rd multi-interception game of the season, which might explain why Randy, Mahomes' mom, wants them to go ahead and change the rules a bit. Last week, we spoke a little bit about Ben Simmons. Joel Embiid was initially looking forward to Simmons's rejoining the team after he held out for the entirety of training camp and the start of preseason play. Embiid said that it's good for the organization in reference to Simmons's return last week, saying that's something that everybody wanted. I've always said that I believe that he gives us the best chance to win. We are a better team with him than without, that is for sure. I'm happy that things have resolved and we can move on and try to be a better team. However, Embiid's tune seems to have changed just a little bit, as he has been stating he is tired of the drama that is now surrounding Simmons. And on Tuesday, Simmons was kicked out of practice by Doc Rivers and was then suspended for the team's season opener for conduct that is detrimental to the team. Embiid goes on to say, at this point, I don't care about that man, honestly. He does whatever he wants. That is not my job. I'm only focused on trying to make the team better, win some games, play hard every night, and try to lead the guys that we have here. And I'm sure they feel the same way because our chemistry has been excellent despite everything that has been happening over the last few months. Goes on to say, so, like I said, I don't really care. This was all on NBC Philly Sports. Embiid also stated that at the end of the day, his job is not to babysit. And that is true. That is
simply not his job or anyone else on the team's job as well. 4-star defensive and Kenyatta Jackson committed to the Buckeyes live on CBS Sports headquarter. Jackson, a product of a Chaminade Madonna prep in Hollywood, Florida, ended up choosing Ohio State over both Alabama and Oklahoma. So seems like Ohio has done well for themselves, as his addition pushes Ohio State to the nation's number 5 recruiting class, even though they are only holding on to 15 committed players. Well, that is all that I have for y'all today. I am trying to make these episodes a little bit longer, so this one should be about 10 minutes longer than my first episode. And I hope that by now you are fast asleep, having the best dreams possible. I hope you enjoyed my podcast, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Thank you again, and good night.